Thank you for your friendship.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, Brother John. Put me on the spot again. I love Brother John. I'll let you know that my typist, probably the same typist that he uses, if you were here Sunday night, when he cross-referenced, he got a little mixed up. I do that every once in a while. Sometimes you have to take me for what I mean and not what I say. Brother John, if it's any help, one Sunday night, I know that I'm the only one that's ever done this, but one Sunday night, a few months ago, cross-reference a passage. It was Old Testament somewhere, I can't remember, and I'm looking for my point, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I was lost. And so I kept reading. And finally, I got to realizing, you know, people are realizing he has no idea where he is. And I said, really? I can't find my point. Let's just keep reading. So we read some more. And we read some more and we read some more while my neck's turning red and my face is turning red. And finally, I said, okay, I guess that's enough. I have no idea where we were, where we were going. Somebody must have needed something we were reading there. I forget a lot of things. Brother John asked me to take the topic of Joseph, and I think I must have let out in one of those uplift meetings that I was going through the life of Joseph on Sunday mornings. Did I do that? Okay. And so I have 12 messages so far on the life of Joseph, and everything is so convoluted right now in my mind. I don't know where we'll end up. I know we're supposed to start in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. And thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for letting me be a part of Worldwide, Brother Wingard. I remember 2007 and you all asking me to be on the board of reference. And just thank you for making us feel like part of the family. This is truly a family week, and it's the highlight of our year as a family. And I just enjoy being here. Hebrews 11, verse 22 says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." I think that is a promise that Joseph carried with him from his teenage years. The promise from Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." I was thinking about Joseph. How much Bible did he have? 12 chapters in the book of Genesis dedicated to the life of Joseph. I don't know what he had. He had what was passed down to him from generation to generation. And part of me just says that he had this verse, he had this sentence in mind, that God's people would be in a land, they would be captive, that God would deliver them and put them in the promised land. They would come out with great substance. The theme is how the eternal weight of glory influenced and set the trajectory of Joseph's life. Here's a man who had the entire course of his life changed at the age of 17. It was just a boy. I have an 18-year-old boy. 17's awfully young. 17 years of age, and Joseph had no choice in the consequences of his life. He had no choice in the plan for his life, really. I'll give you some of the background. Genesis 37, and Jacob dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Joseph was somewhat of a leader, wasn't he? He was a favorite of his father, really coming from a dysfunctional family, three mothers, still living. Who do you go to? Favorite of his father. He's been given that coat of many colors, probably a symbol of some leadership. He's reporting on his brothers, what they're doing out in the fields. In verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. They hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. In verse 9, he has the second dream. He dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. His father sends him out to check on the boys. They're taking care of the sheep, and so he takes that journey some 50 miles to Shechem, I believe it was, and then just a few miles further than that because he couldn't find them and he was directed as to where they were. His brothers see him coming and they contrive a plan. They're gonna get rid of him. Reuben talks them out of killing him. And then the Midianites come by and Judah talks them into selling him to the Midianites for 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph is sold. I would imagine in my mind he was bound and given to the Midianites and taken to Egypt and there sold as a slave and ends up in Potiphar's house. What a day that was. Leaving home that morning to go check on his brothers. Never to return. Never. 93 years he would spend in Egypt. Only 7 days would he go back to the promised land to bury his father. He gave his life in Egypt, didn't he? I think he willingly gave his life in Egypt. You'll read the last verse, and hopefully we'll get there, the last two verses of chapter 50. And this command to not leave his bones in Egypt, but take them to the promised land when they're later delivered. Joseph realized that God, through the workings of his life, meant for him to be in Egypt. Type of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. And Joseph, as a 17-year-old boy, had his life drastically changed. He lost control, didn't he? He lost total control of his life. Any of you like roller coasters? All right, I love roller coasters. We go to a theme park, and Jeremiah and I will hit every roller coaster that we can. Now, the things that spin, I don't like. The things that just sit and spin, they're out of the question. But I like roller coasters, and they have some fast ones now, the steel roller coasters, and they'll fly, and you're upside down, you see it coming. You know, you make that ascent, climbing up the big climb, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you reach the crest, when you reach the peak, it's look out, here we come. You know what most people do when they get to the top of that hill and they start down the other side? They throw their hands in the air. Hands off, right? What are they saying? I submit to the roller coaster ride? I am fully trusting this roller coaster to take me through to the end. Right? I guess I must be a control person. I'm a realist and I must be partially a control person, and I've lost all cognizance of time. Brother John, I meant to start my timer and forgot, so give me a 5-minute wave, please. Okay, 15. When I ride the roller coaster, I like to be a man. I don't like to give up. And I don't like to scream. And you know, they have these cameras now, and you go by, and they take your picture, and they're always at the place where your hand's in the air and your mouth is wide open. But I like to beat the camera, so I hang on. I don't put my arms in the air, I hang on. And I just sit there stone-faced. I usually call myself, I made up a word, I'm emotional. I don't really get too awfully excited. It's not a word, I looked it up and tried. But I do. I ride it and I hang on. You're not going to get me. And I don't scream. I don't yell. Now, the wind may be blowing so fast my cheeks are back like that, but I go by and you can look at my picture. Doesn't get me. If you think of Joseph's life, really is a roller coaster ride, wasn't it? He had no control. I think if we make the analogy, as we think of his life, I think probably just put his hands in the air and he said, Lord, here I am. I'll enjoy the ride, and I know we'll arrive safely at the end, however you seem fit. We fight against change in life, don't we? We fight against transition. We fight against circumstances that we cannot control. But granted, the Lord brings them into our lives on purpose. And if we realize that God's in control and that he has a purpose, we'll finish well. And we do that by hanging on to the promises of God. Joseph knew that probably, I think, eventually he realized that he was one that was going to bring the family to Egypt, and there would be fulfillment, partial fulfillment of that promise. They would be captive in Egypt in a land that wasn't theirs, and that one day they would be delivered. I believe Joseph had a relationship with God, don't you? 17 years of age, Genesis 37 gives us that background. Chapter 39, we see that he was elevated, wasn't he? Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him in the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Four times in this passage, Genesis chapter 39, the Lord was with Joseph. I believe the Lord was with Joseph because Joseph was with his Lord. Joseph spent time in that relationship with his Lord. He realized that he had a sovereign God who was in control, and God could work all things out for his good and for God's glory and for Joseph's good. We realize that, don't we? Do we serve a sovereign God, the Lord that sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever? Do we serve the one who hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And we can trust his plan. We can trust that he is in charge. And we can trust that when problems come, when life changes, when circumstances are completely out of our control, can we trust that God has a plan, that he knows what he's doing, and everything's okay? It's all right. Why did Joseph do that? For the eternal weight of glory in Joseph's life, I believe, was to exalt his God. It was to say, I want you to see my God. Maybe a 17-year-old boy away from home and nobody knows me. But I know God, and I know that God has a plan. He had to suffer the light affliction, right? The light affliction. Don't you like that, light affliction? Did you study that, those of you that are working this week on these sermons? The light, the insignificant burden. Ouch. In light of God's glory, our burdens are insignificant. In light of getting God to the people around us, our burdens are insignificant. And the Lord was with Joseph. There's comfort when the Lord is with us. He is our shepherd, is he not? There's accountability when we know that the Lord is our shepherd. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Jonah tried to run from God. Ananias and Sapphira thought that they could hide their lies and they could lie and hide from God. They couldn't do it. With the presence of the Lord, there is strength. Joseph was a slave without freedom. But he could do what God wanted him to do. And what God wanted Joseph to do was to trust in him, to trust in his sovereign plan. In Genesis 39, Joseph is elevated to a position in Potiphar's house. He's tempted. He doesn't give in. He's falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. He's elevated in prison to a place of responsibility. He's in charge of everything and everyone in the prison. He's forgotten in prison until the butler finally remembers, you know what? There's a man in prison, Pharaoh, that can interpret dreams. And he does it with God's help. I remember when I was there. Joseph is brought out of prison, and there he interprets Pharaoh's dreams, and he's elevated again. Who does Joseph give credit to every time? Joseph gives credit to God. I'll read you a few verses. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, in the instance with Potiphar's wife, he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God was with him. Chapter 40, verse 8, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray thee. Over in chapter 40 and verse 41 and verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. In verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. In verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Chapter 41 and verse 51, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil. Verse 52, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction, as he named Ephraim. You see, I believe Joseph got it. When life is out of control, it's an opportunity for me to exalt God, to show the world that I trust him. I believe Joseph worked in prison as hard as he could. How do you do that? How do you, when you are a slave, when you have no control of your life, how do you work so diligently that you become responsible for those around you? How are you placed in a position of responsibility like that? When you're in a position that's out of your control, a place that's out of your control. When you realize that you serve God, when you work for God, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it diligently. I do it as unto the Lord. Do it with thy might. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what's going on. If I want to let the world see God, I'm going to let him see him the way I work. And I work for him. Joseph let the world, Egypt, see God, his family see God, in the way that he trusted God, and the way that he worked for God, and in the way that he gave his life in Egypt. Bury me in Egypt, but don't leave me here. I gave my life here so that Egypt could be saved, so that my family could be saved. Other nations undoubtedly were saved, but it was God that did it. And God made a promise. I don't want you to leave me here. One of these days, you people are heading out of Egypt. You're heading to the promised land. Take my bones with you. Because it's God that is in charge. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to finish. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the trials that come our way. We thank you for teaching us to be diligent, no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstances may be. Thank you for teaching us to trust you. Thank you for the examples in Scripture of those who trusted you, placed their full confidence in you. And Lord, we want to hang on many times in this roller coaster of life, and there are many times we should just submit and give up and say, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. And if I hang on to this life, others will not see you. Lord, if I give it up, others will see you. I thank you for that spirit that's evidenced in these people here this morning. And I pray that you'd encourage us to continue to live that way, please. In Jesus' name, amen.